Of Artificer Creation.
Welcome to episode 154 of the Let's Talk Photography podcast. I'm your host, Bart Bouchotz, and this is the show for July 2026. For this episode, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a very long time. I'm going to look at some of the images that have won a photography competition to try gain some understanding from them. If that doesn't sound all that interesting, I promise you it's a very revealing thing to do. Way back earlier in this show's history, I actually did this kind of thing a few times. In March 2019, Jeff Carlson joined me on Let's Talk Photography episode 67 to critique the winners of Apple's Shot on iPhone competition to see what lessons we could all learn from them. A year later, Jeff Gamet joined me to talk about the second iteration of that competition, and that time Apple's focus was on night mode, which was their most recently released feature. And then again, Jeff joined me a little, 2 years later on Let's Talk Photography 103, after Apple had added macro mode to the iPhones, and they made their Shot on iPhone campaign all about that in that year. And that gave us another opportunity to look through what other people were doing with their phones. And each time it was a great learning opportunity. And I haven't done it since. That's like Let's Talk Photography 103. We're now on 154. It's a long time ago for, a monthly show. That's a lot of years. But this time I thought it was worth doing again because we have now hit the 20th anniversary of the IPA Awards, the iPhone Photography Awards. They're the IPPA Awards. For some reason, they're spelled in all caps. Very difficult thing to read and to spell. Anyway, they are an independently run competition for photographs shot and processed on iPhones. And this, every year I scan through these and I never think, oh, I should do a Let's Talk Photography on them. But this time, the winning shot was nothing short of spectacular. And it's the 20th anniversary. And we haven't done one of these in years and years. So yeah, let's do this again. Let's take stock of what amazing things are possible with the iPhone. What can we learn? Not just the iPhone, any camera phone. What can we learn by looking at these images? Before we dive into the images, let's just describe what the rules are. So I'm just quoting here some sections of the actual rules you get when you click on the submit button. Entries are open worldwide to photographers using an iPhone or iPad. The photos should not be altered in any desktop image processing program such as Photoshop. It is okay to use any iOS app. The use of any iPhone is permissible. iPhone add-on lenses can be used. So, 20 years in, this competition really has remained true to its original mission. It still showcased the best shots entirely created on iPhones. Yeah, notice the rule said that iPads were allowed. I checked. Every single one of the 40 prize winners was shot on an iPhone. I don't know if that means that the iPad has terrible cameras and that it isn't capable of being a camera. I think it's a reflection of the fact that phones are easy to have in your pocket and iPads are not. So I think it's more about the iPad size and bulk rather than it being somehow inferior at taking photographs. 40 winning images. 40, wow. Okay, so the way it works in this competition is that there are like overall winners that are given 4 medals. And then there are 3 winners from each of 12 categories. So those categories are abstract, animals, architecture, children, city life, cityscape, landscape, lifestyle, nature, people, portrait, series, and other. So that really does cover absolutely everything. Now, I very strongly recommend looking at these images either before listening to this or while listening to this. Sorry, not before. After. Well, actually, no, you could look before. Before, during, or after. All are fine. But I do think you want to cast your eye physically over these images. What I would have loved to be able to do is to link to each individual one in each part of the show notes as I talk about it. Unfortunately, the way the website for these awards is structured, you can't get a per image URL. So the best I can do is give you a button to click on for the winner's gallery. This is a list of the 40 prize-winning images in a grid, and each of them are labelled by the prize they won. So I'm going to refer to them all by the prize they win. So I'm going to zoom out later and look at sort of general patterns I noticed scrolling through those 40 winning images. But there are four medal award winners. I think we should give them a little bit of due care and attention first, right? They have rather earned it. And like I say, the image that immediately caught my eye was the Grand Prix winner. I guess it earned that prize very well. It was featured on all sorts of Apple News websites and it just immediately caught my eye. This was taken on an iPhone 15 Pro. Not this year's iPhone. A two-year-old iPhone. Granted, it was a Pro Max, but nonetheless. We have, at night, an erupting volcano with a starscape behind it. The colours on the volcano are completely natural. The colours in the sky are completely natural. There's lots of stars. Wow, right? This image was shot in the Cayman Islands, and wow, that must have been one heck of a scene. It is absolutely stunning to me that devices that fit in our pockets can take images like this. And again, there's no outside processing. It's all just shot on iPhone. Absolutely stunning. The gold medal winner, then, is not quite my type of photography, but it's a really nice, I would say timeless, black and white image. So we see a top-down view looking at kids sleeping on some grass with a shuttlecock next to them and the silhouette of a racket over their faces. And if it wasn't for the fact that the shuttlecock is made of plastic instead of goose feathers, it could be 100 years old, 5 decades old, a week old, who knows? It really could have been shot any time. Also, like the first place, like the Grand Prix winner, it's not shot on the latest and greatest iPhone. In this case, it's shot on a very, very much not the latest and greatest iPhone. It is on a 9-year-old iPhone, an iPhone X or an iPhone 10. And then the third place shot, sorry, the silver, which is third, is another monochrome. But it's a very, very different monochrome. It doesn't look timeless. It looks very opinionated in its processing. Very opinionated in its processing. It's a cat sitting in front of some sort of an opening in a white wall. And the white wall has been edited to be pure white. And the opening has been edited to be pure black, as has the cat. So the cat almost fades into the hole in the wall. It's like the hole in the wall is perfectly square and then has a cat-shaped bit, except for the two eyes. The two piercing cat eyes looking straight at the photographer. It is an extremely powerful image, and it's a little bit more modern. It's an iPhone 16 Pro, but again, not the latest iPhone. And it's a very, very, very different image style-wise to that amazing volcano shot. And then the bronze medal goes to a still life, which has been obviously very carefully staged and set up. This is a studio shot with perfect studio lighting. We have watermelons cut into various segments and shapes, a watermelon decorated pot, and a parrot that may or may not be a real parrot, all in front of some sort of a cloud-like backdrop of some kind. It is a truly timeless still life. This is still life photography at its absolute finest. It's not something I'm particularly good at and particularly capable of critiquing, but it looks fantastic. It almost certainly has fancy pants studio lighting, but I don't think that should be a knock against it, because the whole point is you normally would use a stupendously expensive camera in a studio, and this is an equal quality image, only it wasn't made with a stupendously expensive camera. It was made with an iPhone. A 16 Pro Max in this case. A little bit more modern. Still not the latest though. So I spent a lot of time scrolling up and down through the full set of 40 winners. And there were a couple of things that immediately caught my eye. And some things that took me a little longer to spot. But nonetheless, let's sort of go through what I've noticed when scrolling through this amazing collection of 40 images as a whole. There are a lot of monochrome shots. Right, half of the four medal winners were monochrome. And it's not quite half across the entire competition. It's 14 out of 40. That's a little more than a third. So that's a lot of monochrome. But just like with the four medal winners, the two monochromes are very, very different monochromes. That really does hold true throughout all of those other monochromes, the other 12 monochromes in the series. So, you know, the one that I think of all of them, actually, to be honest, it stands out more to me than either of the medal winners. The one that really, really catches my eye is the first place shot in the children category. It is a monochrome shot of a young girl running up a beach with a very, very animated expression on her face. She's completely lit by the sun. She's very bright. She's on a beach which has been rendered, probably in post-processing, as darkly coloured. It's almost a black sand beach. And behind the girl is a big rock, and there are great big waves smashing over that big rock, setting up amazing, finely detailed white spray. She's clearly running away from the waves. It's an action shot. It's a strong, very, very strong and contrasted, but there's detail everywhere. There's detail in the dark bits, there's detail in the spray. The shot is obviously very short in time because the spray has just been frozen hanging in midair. So it's just such a captivating, perfect moment. You know, it is an instant in time frozen. So those early days when phone cameras were really laggy, that you'd never get the perfect moment because you'd tap the button to take the picture and, you know, half a week later you get your photograph. Obviously exaggerating a little bit, but you are familiar with the feeling, I'm sure. And of course you would get much longer exposures than you wanted, so you wouldn't have a captured spray hanging in midair. You'd have something blurred, and if the girl was running fast enough, she might be blurred too. Really, these devices have come on a long way. This shot is technically and artistically wonderful, and also shot on an older phone, an iPhone 15. Not a pro, just a plain old iPhone 15. The first place image in the other category is another contrasty monochrome, but this one is shot into the sun, like literally into the sun. So we see a silhouette of a person in one of these public beach showers. I think you tend to get them in the United States, maybe in a place like Australia as well. So there's a silhouette of a person. I think it might be a female silhouette. Not entirely sure. Doesn't really matter. The person is standing under the shower. The shower is hitting them with water, and the water is spraying up and being caught by the backlight. So the person's in silhouette, but they are surrounded by this mist of water that's ghost, you know, that's white by the backlight. And there's a sunburst above through very finely detailed, high, thin, wispy clouds. Despite being shot straight into the sun, and it is, you know, there are silhouettes in the shot, but the highlights are not blown out. It is a sunburst, but there's still detail in the sky too. The dynamic range in this image is astonishing. And being able to just shoot directly into the sun really is one of the iPhone's absolute superpowers. It's just not something that you can easily do with a DSLR to retain this kind of highlight detail and stuff. It's an absolutely stunning image. Very, very arresting as well. Again, a very good use of monochrome there. Very powerful with the dark silhouettes and the light detail and that spray of water. Another backlit shot is the third place in the other category. So we're not shooting straight into the sun in this case, but it is still backlit because there's strong light outside streaming in through a background window into the ruins of some sort of interior of a once grand fancy pants building. And the light from those windows is shining through the silhouette of an ornate curving staircase and into puddles of water on the ground. And those puddles of water are partially reflecting the whole scene. And all of this, there's a thin mist hanging in the air, and the backlight coming through those windows, through that staircase, is picking out that mist perfectly. Like, the balancing of that difficult backlighting is just stunning. Like, it is such a powerful image, so effective, and it's just absolutely amazing. It's contrasty as well, with inky blacks and strong whites, but there's detail where there needs to be. It's an extremely powerful shot. But then we have the complete opposite. So instead of going with strong blacks and strong whites, well, you know, you can also make monochrome shots where the tones are evenly spread across the whole image. And that doesn't have to be flat or boring. That can actually be quite appealing. And the third place portrait showing an elderly man sitting in front of a wall full of analog clocks with some sort of a massive ledger in front of him, much more evenly toned than any of these other monochromes have called out. I would say pretty, you know, if you were to see the histogram, I'm sure it's pretty even. but there's detail everywhere. The image is full of interest. It doesn't feel flat at all. Very, very, very different monochrome treatment to those other ones I've called out, and indeed quite different to the gold medal winner of the girls lying on the lawn with that sort of a timeless look that could have been shot any time. Again, it's much more contrast flat, flatter. It doesn't look flat at all, but you know what I mean? The contrast is more evenly distributed in that one as well. The last monochrome shot I want to draw your attention to is the second place in the landscape shot. So this is a very clear, very detailed, very easy to see three-quarters moon in an inky black sky next to a sunlit rock formation. So obviously this is almost certainly shot during the day to get such a beautifully lit rock formation. So it was run through an iPhone app with a channel mixer. I do this all the time with the iPhone version of Photoshop. So the blues have been turned right down to make that sky inky black, and the reds have probably been cranked right up. I think that looks like a sandstony sort of a rock. The effect is extremely powerful, and there's a lot of detail in that moon. It's a really, I mean, I always love an astronomical shot, but it's a really effective astronomical shot. And what's noteworthy about this one to me is that this is the first one that I've mentioned so far shot with the new 8X telephoto on the very latest iPhone 17 Pro Max. I am a big fan of that lens. It has really impressed me, and it's nice to see it featuring here in, you know, second place in the landscape category. It's a very powerful image. And that is a kind of a segue into talking about focal length. So I spent some time scrolling up and down, and I had to do a little bit of math to figure out, because it lists all of the lengths. It doesn't put them in the iPhone 1X, 2X, etc. Possibly because some people go between the official X's. Instead, it lists the 45mm or the 50mm equivalent. So I asked my favourite AI assistant, Lumo, to do me up a little table mapping the numbers I know to the 50mm equivalent. So I was able to figure out which lenses people were using. And yeah, some of them are between lenses. But on the whole, the vast majority of the shots are in or around the 1X or the 2X lens. Of the 40, just 11 were taken with the 3X, 5X or 8X, depending on which cameras they were. So the vast majority of those 1 or 2Xs. Now, the 8X telephoto is new, and it's really, really impressed me. So I looked for all the images I could find that were definitely taken with that lens, because they're at focal lengths that are so big they just must be 200mm equivalent, basically. And so that moonshot was the first one to catch my eye. But also there were two more, so it was a total of three of them in the whole series taken with that lens. And the next one I want to draw your attention to is also shot with that 8X telephoto, and this is one that doesn't really scream I'm a telephoto shot. It's the first place in the city life cityscape category, and it's a view of a sky. It's a skyscape. And I was initially very surprised that this was shot with the 8X telephoto. We have a layered clouded sky, so different layers of cloud. There are silhouettes of a very substantial flock of birds. And then there's an obvious industrial skyline along the bottom of the image, dominated really by a thin, tall smokestack with a big sort of white cloud streaming out of it. And at first thought, I was like, why is that a telephoto shot? I was like, oh, hang on, those birds, the individual birds are quite small, even in this shot. But without the telephoto, those birds would have just been specks. So the image would not have had its same power. And I immediately thought, okay, well, yeah, you couldn't have caught this without that 8X telephoto. And then I realized that this layering effect is because of telephoto compression. So actually, there's really nothing about this image that would work without having the ability to have a decent zoom lens right there in your pocket. So that 8X telephoto has been an amazing addition by Apple onto the iPhone's repertoire. The third 8X telephoto lens is the third place in the animal category. And this is really, when we think of why would we want a telephoto, everyone immediately jumps to birds. And that's what this is. This is a shot of a flock of very pink flamingos in some inky dark water with really cool reflections. The colours are vibrant, the darks are dark, the contrast is amazing. It's a really beautiful shot. So that lens has really captured the light extremely well. It's a really eye-catching image, and amazing that that's possible with a phone. in contrast to how much I love the 8X telephoto, the 5X telephoto really disappointed me. I wanted it to be great and it sort of wasn't. And yet, one shot taken with that lens did make it into the top 40. It's the third place in the series category, and it's three very tightly cropped views of tightly flocking seagulls looking up at them, making different shapes. I'll be honest and say this image does not speak to me at all. It's a monochrome again, but it's a very grey monochrome. I don't get this image. I'm not saying it's a bad image. I'm saying I can't tell you it's a great image because I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, any of you who have been listening to this podcast for a while know that I am extremely fond of the 0.5x wide-angle lens on the iPhones. If you made me choose between giving up telephoto and the wide-angle, I would give you the telephoto and keep the wide-angle. I just adore that lens. So I looked for a lot, and I looked to see how many amazing shots were taken with that lens, and the answer is one. Just one shot, and the entire 40 was taken with my favourite lens. But it's a good one. It's one we've already called out. It's the into the sun backlit person showering silhouette that I've already mentioned and described, so the first place in the other category. So, you know, it's a great shot, but it is the only one taken with my favourite lens, which disappointed me a little bit anyway. Night mode is obviously one of those things that makes the iPhone so much more powerful than a traditional DSLR. And since the Grand Prix winner was in fact a night mode shot, you might think it'd feature a lot in the series, but it doesn't. And that's probably a realistic reflection of how often most people use it. It's an amazingly powerful feature, but we use it only when it's appropriate, which means quite sparingly. And so there are just a few shots that were taken in night mode, but they're all good, right? So the Grand Prix winner, okay, great, we already know that. The next one to catch my eye as being particularly nice is the first place in the architecture category, which is an elevated view looking down on a winding driveway that's artificially lit, leading up to a very modern-looking house set into a hillside. It's all at night, but you have this very natural balance of the colours between the artificial light and what we can see around the driveway and stuff. It's just a very, very pleasing image taken in the dark. Another iPhone 17 Pro one, so a modern image, but again, night mode really is very powerful. And then the other night mode, the third night mode image, is one that isn't really my style, but I know enough about photography to know it's a very impressive image. It's called Midnight Games, the third place in the City Life Cityscape category. And it's an urban basketball court, deep at night, that's artificially lit, and there are people playing basketball, but, you know, the background is inky black to give you the impression of it being night, but the colours and the light on the court itself are all fine, so it really is a perfectly good scene. The next thing that sort of caught my eye is how people deal with colour differently. It's a very fungible thing when you shoot with an iPhone, how you want your colour to be. So we've already seen amazingly natural colour in that Grand Prix winner, and somewhat emphasised colour in the bronze winner, that still life shot of the watermelons with their strong greens and reds and blacks. But there are quite a few other colour choices photographers have made. So it does show there's versatility here, right? You can capture colour and edit it to look very differently. Personally, I'm drawn to strong, vibrant colours that still look real. So when I say still look real, I mean they are not distorted. The colour themselves are not shifted. They're just emphasised. So given that's what I like to shoot, I just want to draw your attention to the shots that really caught my eye. And so I think the most vibrant colours in the whole thing is the second place abstract shot. And appropriately enough, for being in the abstract category, I'm not entirely sure what it's a photograph of. I can tell you, though, that it has shapes that are fun to look at to the eye, and those shapes are in very pretty vibrant yellows or really rich reds. It's just interesting. I think it's probably furniture of some kind, But I don't know, it's just amazing colours and shapes. A little bit less abstract, but not all that much less, is the second place in the City Life Cityscape photo, which is architectural detail this time. And so we have a wall, that's sort of the backdrop of the whole thing, and the wall is divided in two. The top of it is a vibrant white, and the bottom of it is an amazingly strong orange. And there's one small rectangular window in the white bit showing a blue sky through, which is pretty powerful. And then you have a diagonal white line showing the top of a staircase. And there's a single human figure halfway down the staircase to bring the whole scene to life. It's an extremely powerful image. The colours are not distorted. The white is very pure white, but the blues are very blue. The orange is very orange. It's a very strong image. This is the way I love colour. So that one really caught me. It's also photographically just like everything about that image is just an amazing image in my mind. And then I also need to look at the third place shot of children just to mention like amazing colour. So this is a shot of a bunch of kids in a classroom. The classroom is very dark. I presume it's a classroom because they're all in uniform. And these uniforms are the most amazing shade of what I call purple. I'm somewhat colorblind, it might be pink, but whatever it is, it's an amazing color. And the phone has just captured it so well. It really, really jumps out at me as I'm scrolling up and down. Every time my eyes just jumped into that. Some photographers chose to do the very thing that I dislike most, which is distorting the color. You can do that very easily in the Photos app. You can just distort the color. And I am, basically, I can't judge this image, but the first place landscape shot is like this. It's the first place landscape shot. It must be good. It's a sort of a scrub landscape with rolling hills. There's a path leading the eye, a meandering path, pulling the eye right into it, and there's a clear sky above. If it were in natural colour, I think I might adore this image, but I don't understand this image, so I have trouble saying why it's great. The brush landscape has been shifted to be an unnatural orange, and the sky has been shifted to be an unnatural teal green. Okay, like I say, I don't understand it, but it is the first place landscape image, so it must just be me. And again, it's an artistic choice, a very, very, very different artistic choice that's equally as possible using an iPhone. Now, scrolling up and down, the vast majority of photographers are closer to me in terms of what they want to do with colour than anything else. We generally have naturalistic colour boosted a little bit to make it feel a little bit stronger, but not overdone, not unnaturally so. But some photographers chose to go the opposite route. They chose to de-emphasise the colour. They're not monochrome shots, they're colour shots. But they're not, they don't have that pop that I like. They've gone for the very opposite approach. They've muted the colours a little bit. The first of these shots is the third place nature shot. And it's been subtly desaturated. So it's a red poppy growing amongst some other, you know, wild stuff against a blue sky. And the red and the blue are still there, very obviously still there. But those two colours are so shouty that they would normally be what utterly dominates the image, completely grabs the eye, completely takes over in the shot. But they're not, because they've been subtly subtly toned down a little bit, and so the rest of the image gets to take over. It's a very clever choice by the photographer, and easy to do on the iPhone. And then the third place shot in the people category takes the effect even further. Very muted colours. We have a shot of an elderly man pushing a child in some kind of a stroller through what looks like a tall cornfield, and it has a distinctly desaturated look, like some sort of an old film effect, I think you would describe it as. I'm not quite sure what kind of film looked like this, but I know I've seen this kind of thing on older film shots. Another thing that strikes me scrolling up and down is powerful textures. So quite a few of the winning shots depend to a greater or a lesser degree on well-captured texture. Now, for most of the shots, the texture isn't the focus. But if you were to omit it, the shot really wouldn't have its impact anymore. So the texture is a very important backing vocal to the shot itself. And I think it's important to sort of draw attention to that. And the iPhone really does do a very good job of capturing local contrast, that kind of little detail. So my favorite example of the subtle but vital texture is the third placed architectural shot. So this is showing, it's actually just a very cleverly composed image. I just really love this image all in all. But we are looking at a mosque, a white stone mosque, through the frame of a distinctly Arabic window with very intricate shapes in a sandstone coloured wall. So you have a lovely contrast between the white and the sandstone. But the mosque is built of individual white stones. And so you have texture from just all the stonework. But there's also carvings, very subtle carvings in that stonework, these beautiful ornate patterns. And yes, the shapes in the image are amazing and the image would be okay without that texture. But with the texture, the image absolutely sings. It's an absolutely stunning image. I'd be honest, I probably would have put it higher than third place, but it's an amazing architecture shot. Now, I've scrolled up and down lots and lots of times and I've found a place in the natural narrative of this episode to talk about most of the ones that caught my eye. But I'll be honest, I can't quite find a place to hang these next two, but I do still really want to talk about them. So the first one is the first place nature shot, and it's just so wonderfully dreamy. I just adore this kind of photography. It's subtle in every way of subtle, but it's amazing. We have a frost-covered bare tree appearing through the parting mist hanging over water below. It's just gorgeous. And then finally, I want to talk about the second place in the series. So the iPhone is generally fond of trying to get everything properly exposed. The iPhone sort of considers it a failing of itself if it can't give you both shadow detail and highlight detail. And to be honest, 99.9% of the time, that's actually very nice of it to do that. And that's exactly what I want. But sometimes I want a silhouette, and silhouettes can be amazingly powerful images. Now, thankfully, that's not a problem. You just tap on it and you pull the exposure down and away you go. So the second place shot is a series of three almost identical images of different figures crossing a humped bridge between two buildings that are very closely set together. It's obviously some sort of a Chinese setting, and I know that without even reading the fact that it was indeed shot in China, because we have very distinctive little features in the architecture that are, again, it's silhouetted architecture, but it still has these distinctive Chinese touches to it. And you have this lovely orange sky, and then you have this amazing, wonderfully shaped silhouette with cool stuff going on. And then it has a sort of an ethereal feel. It feels there's something a little bit more going on because the thing feels ripply. The scene feels rippled. That's because they're all reflections in the water. So we're actually looking down into the water, not at the actual silhouette itself. Very powerful image, really nicely done. And again, I just had to call it out. It's amazing. So having originally been a deeply sceptical person about the idea of using phones for series photography, I came around to understanding just how wrong I was a long time ago at this stage. But I did need to be convinced. And scrolling through this series of images, I now feel completely vindicated in having switched fully from team this is a silly idea to team I don't shoot with anything but my iPhone. These shots are not great camera phone shots. They're great photographs. Full stop, end of story. Right? A truly powerful image is a powerful image without needing any sort of a context, without needing any sort of a but. Oh, yeah, look, it's not the world's, you know, yeah, it's a nice image, given it was taken on an iPhone. Right? If you need to caveat it, it's not a great image. These images, you could show these to anyone and just remove the context. Just show them the images and say, hey, these great photographs. And they would go, yeah, these are great photographs. The fact that they were shot on an iPhone is irrelevant. They are great photographs. And that just proves that the camera we have in our pocket is an extremely powerful camera, a full-featured camera. We can take amazing photographic images with the device in our pocket. And what's kind of even more amazing is that that isn't true now. Well, it is true now, but it isn't only true now. It's not a recent truth. That's actually been true for a long time. And very few of the winners are shot with the most recent iPhone. many are shot with very old iPhones indeed. I think I called out 9-year-old iPhone at one point during the process here, right? That's a decade-old phone. And it's still capable of shooting a world-class image, an award-winning world-class image. So we really do all have amazing cameras in our pockets. The style you can see in these 40 images is so varied and so wide-ranging that clearly we're not hemmed into doing things one way or another way. We have lots and lots of choices in how we do things. So, you know, I am extremely inspired by looking through these winning images. If the 40 images aren't inspiring enough, if you scroll a little further, you'll end up in the honorable mention section. And there's a lot of honorable mentions. There are, let me check. There is honorable mention 16 of 379. So there is a lot of amazing iPhone photography work to enjoy, to take inspiration from, to take ideas from. The styles, the subjects, everything about it is just so varied. You know, you can scroll up and down forever and ever in here. It's just so entertaining. So I hope you go spend some time enjoying these images. I hope they inspire you to shoot more and different and better that with your phones already. And yeah, that's kind of what I took from this anyway. And I hope you enjoy the journey. Right, I'm going to wrap it up here. I have been your host, Bart Bouchotz. You can find me personally at bartb.ie. But before all of that, I do want to draw your attention to the fact that there are show notes at lessashtalk.ie. And in those show notes is the button to get the gallery of award-winning photographs and a written sort of essay version of everything you've just heard me say. There are also buttons to support the show. You're now at the end of the show. You haven't heard an ad yet. You haven't heard a sponsor. And there's a little bit more of me prattling on to go, but not very much. And there's no more ads. There's no ads. There's no sponsors. This is a 100% listener-supported show. It is amazing to me that you, the audience, have made it possible for me to produce these podcasts, which I love producing, without it being a financial burden on me and without me having to do the horrible thing I absolutely detest of having to try find sponsors and things. For a start, I like to be free to speak my actual mind and not feel under any sort of a pressure to say things that a vendor will or won't like and so forth. So that there's so much liberty in the fact that this is a listener-supported show. So I really, really, really do appreciate you all, any of you who ever have or are considering supporting the show. The two most effective ways of doing so financially are becoming a monthly patron on Patreon, which helps me pay the bills, or you can make a one-off donation on PayPal, which helps me buy new hardware and software as and when needed. Both are important, both are valuable, both are greatly appreciated. You can, of course, support the show without any sort of money changing hands by simply recommending it to friends, family, people you meet on the street. You get the idea. Okay, that's enough from me. I've been Bart Bouchotz. You can find me at bartb.ie. You'll find the show notes at lessashtalk.ie. And until next time, happy snapping.